Let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. In case you're not familiar with the order of the books in the Bible, that's the book we'll be in this morning. We've been there for several weeks, and we're going to go to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 22. Galatians 5. 22. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Verses 22 through 26. And God's word says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as your word is being read, as we are standing and listening, Father, we want to learn what this word means to us here today. Father, as your representative, I just ask that every word that I speak, Father, it be something that you want me to say. Father, I humble myself and I hide behind the cross, Lord, that you get the glory here this morning, Father, that lives will be changed through the reading of this word and the message that is to come, Father. And it's to you the praise goes and the glory. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in a sermon series on living by the Spirit, or walking by the Spirit, as some Bibles would say. Let's sum up what we've learned so far in the last couple weeks. We started with Galatians 5:16, which said this, that believers are commanded to walk by the Spirit. It's a command, it's not a suggestion. The Holy Spirit is the GPS system in every believer. We talked about GPS system. It's God's providing spirit. The Spirit knows the direction we need to go. He knows what our destination is. And He's going to provide us the direction that we need to go in order to become more Christ-like. Last week, we moved on to Galatians 5:17, which said that there's going to be a conflict or battle in our attempt to do this, to walk that Christ-like walk, because the believer has not shed the sinful nature, the flesh, as some Bibles would call it, and that sinful nature does not want to relinquish power to the Holy Spirit. So a battle starts going on within every believer. The flesh, the sinful nature, wants to do this. The Holy Spirit wants to do this. Conflict begins. Last week, Galatians 9, chapter 5, 19 through 21, gave us a severe warning about living or continuing in a lifestyle of the sinful nature. It said this, that those who continue as such will not inherit the kingdom of God. We also learned some ways to avoid temptation. And I gave 5 points. We need to aim to a higher level. We need to value our position in Christ. We need to occupy our idle time. We need to include the Holy Spirit in our decisions. And we need to dive into God's Word. And if you take those 5 words, aim, value, occupy, include, and dive. It's an acronym for the word avoid. We avoid temptation if we do those 5 things. And as believers, we need to walk by the Spirit for 2 really good reasons. One is, there's 2 challenges ahead of us. And both of them are going to become virtually impossible on our own if we try to walk this walk by ourselves under our own power. One challenge is this. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 48, to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now that's quite a challenge, folks. It's quite a challenge to be perfect. And we will never fully achieve the goal of being perfect the way our heavenly Father is perfect, and certainly not as Jesus is perfect. But the only way that we're going to move from where we are now to that goal is going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The second challenge that we have that's nearly impossible is we need to rid ourselves of the sinful nature. Remember the old Mike, the old Gail, the old Romy, the old you? We want to move that into this direction. But again, there's going to be that battle. And the only way we're going to rid ourselves of that old person that we used to be is also by the power of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within us. So we have two goals, and neither one of them are going to be achieved without the power of the Holy Spirit. That we are totally incapable on our own, of going in the right direction on either of these two challenges. So we need to walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit, because it's going to be the Spirit within us that's going to do that for us. And now that brings us to verses 22 through 26. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The word fruit is used 172 times in the Bible. It is used in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And it is used in the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. In the New Testament, the word fruit is sometimes the Greek word genema, which actually means fruit that's found on trees, you know, apples, oranges, pears, etc. But most of the time in the New Testament, it's the Greek word karpos, which means the works or the words that are produced by an individual, a group of people, or even a nation. It's the words or the works produced by an individual, a group of people, or even a nation. Today, we're going to focus on the karpos definition of the word fruit. In the positive sense, Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 30 says this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." So you can see from that verse, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's something positive. It's the fruit, it's the words and the works that we produce. They can become a tree of life. And that's in the positive sense. But also in the negative sense, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28-31 says this: "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, then they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their own schemes." In this definition, fruit means it's a negative thing. It's the bad things that have been produced by these people. And God says this, that they're going to pretty much reap what they sow. You reap what you sow. So my challenge is this: what are you reaping? Trust me, the Bible says this: what you are reaping, you will also sow. Jesus says in Matthew 12:33, he says this: make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. A very similar thing that Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. He says this: "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. And each tree is recognized by its own fruit." Then he goes on to say, "People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings out evil things of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Now, in particular, Jesus is talking about words that we speak. Things that we say are the result of kind of what's in here. But also, I'm going to include, just because I want to do that here this morning, that also includes our actions. Our words and our actions are the fruit of what's really right here. And sometimes only you really know what's right here. But sometimes that what's right here comes out and the whole world sees it. Let me share an example with you. There's a man, his name is Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard was born on June the 27th, 1956, and is a former American evangelical preacher. Known as Pastor Ted to the congregation, he is the founder and former pastor of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's also a founder of the Association of Life-Giving Churches. He was also the leader of the National Association of Evangelicals from 2003 until November of 2006. However, in November of 2006, he resigned from all his leadership positions after he admitted soliciting prostitute Mike Jones for homosexual sex and methamphetamine usage. Initially, Haggard denied even knowing Mike Jones, but as the media investigation proceeded, he acknowledged that some of the allegations, such as the purchase of the methamphetamines, were true. He later added that all the accusations were true. In November of 2006, prostitute and masseur Mike Jones alleged that Haggard had paid Jones to engage in sex with him for 3 years and had also purchased and used crystal methamphetamines. Jones said he had only recently learned of Haggard's true identity and explained his reasons for coming forward by saying this. Now this is Mike Jones, the prostitute, saying this. It made me angry that here's someone preaching against gay marriage and going behind the scenes and having gay sex. Jones made the allegations public in response to Haggard's political support to a Colorado amendment on November 7th, on the November 7th Colorado ballot that would ban same-sex marriage in that state. Jones told ABC News this, "I had to expose the hypocrisy. He is in the position of influence of millions of followers and he's preaching against gay marriage. But behind everybody's back, he's doing what he preached against." End quote. What is really on our inside, our fruit, will eventually reveal itself on the outside. Either that's going to be good fruit or it's going to be bad fruit. A true believer will produce good fruit. And the fruit produced in the believer by the Spirit is outlined here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Again, let me repeat the nine fruit that's mentioned here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we read this list of this fruit, we might conclude that anyone who exhibits these qualities is a believer. That is not necessarily true. We may all know of people who are unbelievers who are very kind. They're very good. And they're very loving. That in itself does not make a person a believer. The real question is, what has that person done to the sinful nature, that part of us over here? And I believe the answer to that is in verses 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25 of Galatians 5 says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus, what have they done? They've crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The sinful nature and its passions, and this part of us over here, it's been crucified. And now we keep in step with the Spirit as we walk by and as we live by the Spirit. Let me repeat the fruit of the Spirit one more time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you notice, I'm sure regardless of what Bible translation you may have, that you know that Paul, the writer of this book, starts off that by saying the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't say fruits, plural, with an S, of the Spirit. I believe if he said fruits, plural, of the Spirit, that would imply that a believer might have some of these, but not all of those. But he uses it in a singular form, fruit. And that should lead us as believers to conclude this, that a believer should and will exhibit all of these qualities that are listed here. Now, I can speak of this personally, and I'm sure it applies to you. There are probably some of these that I'm probably a little bit better at than others, but I would not look at any of these and say, I don't have that, because if we're walking by and if we're living by the Spirit, we should have all nine of those. What Paul is saying is that when we do walk by the Spirit, this is what the Spirit has put inside us as believers. And this is what will come out of us. What's in us, Jesus says, will come out. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, or the actions dictate. And this is what comes out, our words and our actions. You don't need to be a theologian to understand these nine items. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They mean probably exactly what you think they mean. But let me give you a definition, a very, very quick definition of each one of these nine. Love. Love denotes an undefeatable benevolence, an unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest of the other. No matter what that person does. It is that which gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of the object. That's love. Joy. Joy is not a human-based happiness that comes and goes. Rather, joy is divine in its origin. It is a Spirit-given expression that flourishes best in hard times. Joy. Peace. Peace is the wholeness, the completeness, or the tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by the outward circumstances or pressures. That's peace. Patience. Some Bibles might use the word long-suffering. Long-suffering, patience, one and the same. Is the ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. It describes, I love this definition. It describes a person who has the power to exercise revenge, but instead exercises restraint. Boy, isn't that a great definition for patience. A person who has the power to exercise revenge, but instead exercises restraint. Patience. Kindness. Some Bibles might use the word gentleness. Does not necessarily mean being nice. One can be kind and not very nice. Kindness is acting for the good of people, regardless of what they do. Kindness. The next one is goodness. Goodness is having moral excellence and virtue. Goodness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is committing yourself to God's word and not wandering from the truth. That's faithfulness. Gentleness, some Bibles use the word meekness, is a disposition that is even-tempered, tranquil, balanced in spirit, and unpretentious. The person who possesses this quality pardons injuries, corrects faults, and rules his own spirit well. And then the last one, self-control. Some Bibles use the word temperance. Self-control. It means pretty much what it says. It means to stay under control. Not to get angry with others, but to encourage them. Did you notice in your bulletin, there's no sermon notes today, but I found this nice little picture of this nice little tree with all these fruit of the Spirit on them. And I think I tried to figure them all out there. Patience is a watermelon. Let me make sure I get these right here now, okay? Because I don't want to mess this up. Patience is a watermelon. Self-control is a pear. Love is an apple. Gentleness is some grapes. Peace is a strawberry. Goodness is a banana. Faithfulness is a lemon. Joy is... what's joy? An orange? An orange? Then what's kindness? A plum? A plum. Okay. All right. And so the next time you eat fruit, just think of yourself getting a dose of the Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher say this about the fruit of the Spirit. It's like God is in a tree, and the tree is full of all this different kinds of fruit, and he's up there shaking the tree. And you're underneath there with a basket. The question is, what are you collecting? Okay? You know, are you collecting the bananas and the strawberries and the apples and the oranges and the watermelons? Here's a hypothetical situation. Our fictitious character, John Doe, he has called the spiritual police. And he's accused a person of being very loving. He's accused a person of being joyful. He's accused that same person of having an inner peace. He's accused that same person of being kind, good, and gentle. John Doe has accused that person of being very faithful. He's accused that person of having self-control. And the last thing he told the spiritual police was this: that person is very, very patient. So John Doe and the spiritual police are having this congregation, this talk with each other. The spiritual police asked John Doe, if we lined up five people, could you pick that person out? And John Doe said, absolutely. So there's a lineup with five people. Four of those people are unbelievers. You're the fifth person. You are the one that is being accused of being loving, being joyful, being peaceful, being patient, being kind, being good, being faithful, being gentle, and having self-control. Does John Doe pick you out of the lineup? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we review the fruit of the Spirit, Father, it's something that we want to exhibit in our lives day after day. That when people see us, when people hear us, when people interact with us, they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt there is something different about that, about that person. And that's because, Lord, it's nothing that we've done on our own. It's the Spirit working within us. Father, we want to be so obvious in the world of whose we are, that we are yours, that we are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led people. Father, make it so obvious that when we are put in that lineup of other people in the world, we will stand out like a sore thumb. That other people will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's the person who is loving and joyful and kind and good, with patience and self-control and faithful and meekness. We know this, Lord. It only can come from you. So, Father, thank you for indwelling the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us believers today, that we can walk outside these walls and not only display those things here inside, but we display them outside as well. We're encouraged that you're going to do that for us, Lord. Let us rid ourselves of that sinful nature and let us walk by the Spirit. We thank you for that, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.